promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet.
Thank you, Lord.
I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass.
Yeah.
My heart will sing your praise again.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again.
Thank you, Lord, your promise.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I see you do it again. I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I see you do it again. I've seen you move.
Oh yes,
you move the mountains, and I believe I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe.
Oh yes,
I see you do it again. I've seen you move. Mountains, and I believe I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I see you do it again.
Your promise still stands.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Never failed me yet.
You move the mountains, and I believe I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe
I declare it.
I see you do it again. I see you move. You move the mountains. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet.
Your promise.
Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hand. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet.
Won't you stand in the clear with us this morning if you're able to? Hallelujah. I've seen you move, and I believe you'll do it again, Lord. Come on, stand in the clear with us. Hallelujah.
I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I see you do it again.
See you do it again.
See you do it again.
The presence of the Lord is here. You don't have to wait on me to speak to receive him. I've prepared. I know what he gave me is from him. I didn't want to do it. It's not a Mother's Day sermon. I don't have anything to say to moms today. But Dale wouldn't quit. And I knew that he had given me something that I needed to speak, and it just happens to be today. So I have two apologies. One, this is not a Mother's Day sermon. It's for absolutely everybody who God brought through the doors today. And I believe that. I trust that. You can be seated. My second apology is I have a ridiculously long story to tell you in order to get my points across. So I hope somebody brought the loaves and fishes to go along with these waters. I'm just kidding. If I speak at the rate I normally speak, it should take about 30 minutes. If you need to go before them because you have lunch plans with your beautiful mama, excuse yourself, and I totally understand. But I feel like the Lord has something for me to give to you today. So I'm his humble servant. I pray that he clothes my mind with his spirit and helps me to say only what he would have me say and hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name. Thank you for being here today. You're a beautiful, lovely congregation. Moms, those who want to be moms and aren't. Those who are almost moms. Those who are moms incognito. Thank you for all that you do. Bless you. Recently, Dale and I went to a pastor's conference at the Cove over in Swannanoa, the Billy Graham Training Center, and we had an afternoon in between lunch and dinner of what they had designated as free time with God. Some folks visited the chapel, walked through the prayer gardens, rocked on the rocking chairs on their beautiful balcony, read books, talked. The most spiritual went back to their room and took a nap. Several strange souls, us included, decided to spend that time hiking to what they called the Lookout. This was a 7 to 8 mile hike, 1,300 feet elevation change, for healthy people only, thank you very much, that boasted of a gorgeous, breathtaking, all-around view at the top. This decision was something we kind of mentioned the day before and then just decided to venture out on after lunch. We had 4 hours. We weren't going to go home. We didn't have a hotel room, and so we just went. We had to go by the visitor centers and tell them that we were going. We had to pick up a handheld walkie-talkie for safety. That should have been our first clue. There were two ways to the Lookout. You could take a 3.5 mile, very steep hike, or a 4 mile, more gradual incline hike. Usually took about the same amount of time for that sweet little lady at the front desk who highly recommended that we take the less strenuous route. It was the first perfectly sunshiny, warm spring day of this year, and we were like, we want to be outside, and so off we went. This is what we did have. Jeans, chacos, tennis shoes, a cloth backpack, 2 bottles of water, 2 apples, 2 bananas, a map, and we were in a good mood. Here are the things we wish we had before it was over. Shorts, hiking shoes that my friend Jessica brought, more water, sunscreen, bug spray, hats, walking sticks, more water, and good sense. Within about 20 feet of beginning down the first small pebbled covered road, I called a timeout, my first of about a million. I had to change my shoes. My chacos were getting rocks all in them, and so I sat down. Thankfully, I had been smart enough to put my tennis shoes in my book bag, switch my tennis shoes, were all good, no biggie. So on down the beautifully shaded path we went. We were definitely taking the less strenuous route for sure. We were healthy, an 8 or a 9 on that medical scale for sure. But we were smart too, and we wanted to be in it for the long haul, we thought, of course. So down the hill we went, past one of the inns, past the trail to the chapel, and then we looped back around and headed towards the main trail. chatting, holding hands, just having a jolly good old time. There were road signs all along the way, and when we got to the one that said Overlook, we just, of course, followed it and kept on trucking. About a mile into this casual stroll, I realized there were signs off to the right, leaning back to the conference center and the other ends. It seemed like we'd pretty much just made a circle right back to where we started, sort of. Were we on the less strenuous path, right? Maybe we'd missed our turn somehow. We weren't sure. We forged on. We just kept moving forward. But as we got further away from the other trails and rounded a few more curves, the path got narrower, and it turned into large gravel and rocks and began to incline. Every turn showed another, as far as you could see, incline, and not so gradual, mind you. I began to hear my heartbeat in my ears, and anyone around could have heard me huffing and puffing. We made it to You Are a Here map on the trail, and yep, for sure, we had missed our turn and taken the steeper route. And we were really only half a mile into the actual trail. So, turn around after hiking 45 minutes, backtrack, and then hike 4 more miles just for the less strenuous route? No, that didn't make any sense. Inside, my heart and lungs were whining, proclaiming, this is why I wanted to take the less strenuous route. My legs were fine so far, but the old cardio didn't feel like the 8 or the 9 that I had boasted of in our naive musings previously. Maybe I was just a 7. Hold on, I'd say, I need a minute. This older guy passed us, hiking boots, walking stick, shorts, hat, backpack. They did warn us, he said, as he plodded steadily upward. Another half a mile in, and Dale begins to question the sanity of spending his lazy afternoon watching his wife take rest breaks. Are you sure you're up for this? He asks. This is the first hike of the season, and I don't want you to overdo it. Isn't he just so sweet? What? Turn around? Quit? Do you know who you're talking to, kind sir? By this time, I've stopped with the breathing rest breaks, and I literally just plop down on the ground. Mr. and Mrs. Jock in workout clothes and ponytail coolly climb by. This is a workout, right? No. I am not turning around now. Curve. Long hike up. Friendly sunshine, now not so friendly. Curve. Long hike up. This cloth backpack is making me sweat. More. Curve, long hike up. I'm seeing spots. Must have water. Curve, honey, will you carry this backpack? Then after forever, we come to a new road. Hallelujah. With this sweet song that declares, old spring warning, this is capital letters, warning, very steep grade. Hazardous edge, single lane, no turnouts. Four-wheel drive required. Please gear shift and low before proceeding. Speed limit, 5 miles per hour for the next 1 mile. Well, no problem there with the speed limit, buddy. But I think I lost the four-wheel drive capacity a long, long time ago. Dale just gave me this real long look. So more of the previously stated, only steeper. Grab hold of the ground steeper in places. Straight up as far as you could see. Not kidding. It's like, is it ever going to end? Dale would hold my hand and pull. He'd get behind and push. He'd let me walk ahead and then he'd catch up. You can do this, honey. Gorgeous views off to the west. He'd run ahead. Run ahead to see if the incline around the next bend leveled off any, for my mental sake. I am a 6 for sure. Probably really just a 5. Am I ready to meet Jesus? What if I keel over? Maybe that's what the walkie-talkies are for. Wait, we can stop and take another picture. So about this time, we begin to discuss the fact that the most strenuous road meets the less strenuous road, to go back down to the retreat center before the last mile goes out to the lookout. Did that make sense with my little, here's the more strenuous route, here's the less strenuous route, they meet, and then you go a mile on to the lookout. So we begin to discuss the fact that we're going to meet that other road pretty soon. If we can just make it there, then we can just make that loop and not have to come back down the steeper way. Maybe that 8 mile hike was just not a good idea. My legs had gone from burning and screaming to rubber and mush. Our water was already halfway gone. Somehow we just roboted through that next half mile. Finally, we made it to the connector road. Wow, we just stood there for a while to catch our breath. Now we could just go back down that less strenuous route. Hallelujah, right? Wait a minute. Now we're so close. Had we come this far just to give up the top? It was only another mile, right? Poor Dale was ready to go back. He would rather have been rocking on the porch, reading some of his books like he had planned. I mean, we had already seen the gorgeous skyline off to the west, and that was good enough, right? But I just couldn't give in. I couldn't give up. I couldn't turn back. I couldn't miss out. Besides, we had made it through the steepest part and survived, right? Maybe I was a 7. Two friendly guys we had had lunch with came along. That was crazy, right? Are you coming or going? Do you want this walking stick? It helps. No thanks, we're good. Honey, let's just see what's around that next curve, okay? And Dale just shakes his head. Around the next curve was another mountain, but it looked like if we went off rail, we might could go catch the eastern horizon without really having to go all the way to the top. I mean, who needs that 360 view? Maybe we could cheat. So under the fallen logs, through some briars, crunch, crawl, nope, false alarm. Just more close mountains. Let's just go back. We're not failures if we don't go all the way to the top. We've seen some great views and done some major hiking. That was our goal. We found our way back to the trail. But wait, there's humans coming down the mountain. Mr. and Mrs. Tall Power couple on their phones, one talking, one surfing, and kind of annoyed that we stopped them to talk. How much further from here? How long? Muttering without eye contact. Oh, about 25 minutes. 25 minutes, honey, great. Come on, we're just about a half an hour away. I had gotten my second wind, and this was nowhere near as strenuous. Dale said, I never knew you were this stubborn. I'm like, it's been 20 years. You should know this by now. Around the next curve was another mountain, onward and upward. The higher the elevation, the more it opened up, and it became very hot. A few more sips of water. I found my own walking stick. Discovered it. It did help. That guy was smart. Just took us, 3.5 miles to figure that one out. We passed several more people. About 25 minutes later, we met Mr. and Mrs. Bubbly. You only have about 25 more minutes to go. About that time, it suddenly became all my fault that we were on this ridiculously long, hot, unromantic getaway. We were getting sunburned and wanted all those things that were not in our backpacks. I just stopped, and I apologized for being overly determined. But now we really did have to finish. We met Mr. Hiking Boots coming back the other way. You've got a ways to go, but it's worth it. Returning Mr. and Mrs. Jocks, this is the biggest climb. Then there's several more hills, and then you'll be there. Sweet young still chipper whippersnapper says, there's an amazing view from the wooden porch, but the sun is scorching. If you climb around to the side, you can sit underneath on the rocks in the shade. And it's great. You can enjoy the same view. Just keep walking, walking, walking. Just keep walking. And the view was spectacular. More vast than I imagined. We could even see Reynolds High School and Ingalls on 74 from the top, and we were on the other side of Swannanoa to begin with. We crawled under the porch and enjoyed the breeze. The apple and the banana hit the spot, and we drank more of our water. We took some pictures and declared that, yes, it was worth it. We had succeeded, but the realization of us only being halfway there was kicking in. We were tired and ready for a nap. Needless to say, we were much less talkative on the way back. We were in that let's just get it done phase of this adventure. The inner pull to conquer the mountain was gone. We did come back the longer route, and while this less strenuous route was not as steep as the other route, I soon found that less strenuous did not mean not strenuous, and less steep did not mean not steep at all. We still had 13,000 feet of elevation to come back down. On the downhill climb, I had to concentrate much more on the placement of my feet. I leaned way more heavily on that walking stick, and I really had to mentally encourage my physical body to keep moving. This was really where the Lord began to speak to me about this hike called life. And this is why I've told you this ridiculously long story about our hike. Proverbs 16 and 9 says, "The mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." We expect and plan for what we think is a smooth route, and sometimes end up on the steepest and most treacherous route. Steep, more rigorous, more difficult, and more painful than we had ever imagined. Requiring more effort, intention, emotion, sacrifice than we ever wanted to, expected to, were prepared to invest. Maybe we are exhausted, irritated, angry, defeated, regretful, afraid, just tired, and feel at a crossroads of decision to quit or keep going. Or maybe we've gotten our second win like I had before, and it propels us onward to the strong work that it will take to reach the top. Maybe we conquered the previous assignment of obedience, but now we're not sure what the what now will bring. Scripture doesn't support the notion in the path of the believer as one of passive coasting. It seems to me there are two main goals: make it into heaven, but make a difference in the earth until we get there. Life is a literal walk of faith. Even with the map in front of us and the end goal of heaven clearly in mind, we have no idea what the road of obedience and doing the will of God with each of our numbered days will actually look like. We know that God will be faithful till the end, but how do we remain faithful and fruitful until our end on this hike called life? So I came up with three tools of the trade. Number one, shoes. Shoes matter, right, girls? Shoes matter. I thought you'd kind of be with me on that one. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all of your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil." Follow the map. The placement of your feet on the foundation of truth matters. Do I make decisions based on the truth of God's word or my opinion or the opinions of other people? Do I fill my mind with his truth so that when distraction and deceptions come, I even recognize it and are able to pull them down? Number two, avoid the detours. They just don't pay off. The direction of your feet will determine your path. They will determine your destination. Are the decision and actions of my day to day, are they in line with that of a Christ follower? Am I who I think I am? Am I who I say I am? Are my steps taking me in the direction of heaven? Are they showing Christ to others as I walk along the way? Are my goals for the day and aspirations of my life, are they eternity-centered or are they self-centered? Am I a person of integrity? Am I a person of authenticity with other people, showing them who I really am? So shoes matter. Follow the path, avoid the detours, and even under shoes, have a made-up mind. Realizing God's purpose for you is what propels you forward on the path of life. What gifts has He specially given me that He wants me to develop and use for His eternal purpose and glory? Knowing His calling on the seasons of our life will keep us grounded in the day-to-day. I won't be worried and troubled about many things, if you'll recall the story of Martha, if I choose what is the better part or the needed part, according to Mary, from Jesus' perspective. During each season, I'll have a few sacred yeses that He says should be my focus, and this helps me determine how my hours and days are to be invested. We are in this for the long haul, and if we predetermine to finish and stay the course, it settles so much here. We were on that hike, but so much of our energy was trying to figure out if we were going to quit or not. Did you catch that? We never could make up our mind until we were almost there. If we hadn't been so out of shape, we might have determined way far ago, but then the harder it became, the less sure we were that we wanted to finish. So in our spiritual walks, to determining that we're going to finish and finish strong will be half the battle up here. Okay, so those are our feet, our shoes. Shoes matter. The second thing is leaning sticks. I'm going to call my walking stick a leaning stick because that's what it ended up being. It did not walk for me. It helped me to lean. So when we lean into people, we have to choose which voices you're going to lean into. The scripture says that there is power of life and death in the tongue. Proverbs 25 and 11 says, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in the right circumstances. Of all those things that people told us, two stuck out in my mind. And yes, I was analyzing this the whole time. You've got a ways, but it's worth it. You want this walking stick? It helps. It's definitely the most encouraging and the most helpful. Only about 25 more minutes. Well, no. That tall man's 25 minutes was way different than this short girl's hour. When speaking to other people, remember this. When we're trying to encourage them, it's important to understand that everybody's journey is different. Don't put your own time frame on someone else's hike. Their hike through their pain, their healing, their heartache, their grief, their growth. As spiritual friends, we are just to provide some shade, share an apple, carry their backpack, offer them a hand to grab onto in the steep places, and point them to the grace and strength that Christ has to offer. We will not be the ones to fix them. But we do get to be there when it's time to celebrate the good days, the small successes, the wins. And we can celebrate with cupcakes, too, if we want to, if we're lucky. So choose the voices that you lean into. And then secondly, on those leaning sticks, lean strong into Jesus. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness and all these things. Well, what were all those things? In the previous verses, it's all those things they were worried about. So what are you worried about? What are the most strenuous and steepest parts of your days right now? Seek first the kingdom of God. Lean strong on Jesus and His righteousness. And all of those things will be added to you. I'm going to paraphrase Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 a little bit. There will be moments of decision that will change your life. Sometimes you won't even know you're making them until you look back. But sometimes you will be very much aware, and they will be crossroad decisions. Not everything will make sense. Not everything ever needs to. His ways are so much higher than ours that we literally cannot comprehend them. But his peace can overcome us in a way that overcomes our worry and fear and even doubt. Daily trust his heart for you and recognize his great plan for you. And encourage yourself in the Lord. His arm is not too short to save. As we lean on his strong arm, he is directing our path. And he is making our path straight. So leaning sticks are helpful. And mine was crooked, but it did the job. Number three. Guess what number three is? Anybody want to guess? Water. Y'all are so smart. I'm so excited. So water is an essential. Here's the deal. We are all thirsty. We're thirsty for love and acceptance. We're thirsty for joy and pleasures. We're thirsty for fulfillment. If you don't believe it, look at what the devil tempted Jesus with. They'll fall into those three categories. Jesus says in John 7:37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being, all of those things, those joy, pleasure, need for love, need for fulfillment, all in that innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So come to me and receive me, Jesus says. After receiving me, believe me for salvation and for daily saving, and you yourself will become alive for now and throughout eternity. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures. We skip over that part. Pleasures forevermore. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He can be the very source of our life. John 4:13-14, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and Jesus repeats again, whoever drinks of this water that I give him, in other words, myself, he who drinks of me will never thirst for all of those other things. But the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Somewhere in the last couple of miles in our adventure, it all begins, you know, it's just fuzzy after that. Dale had drank all of his water, and I had just a little bit left of mine. We came across a spring of sorts, and it was too tempting. You know, I'm a nurse, so I'm thinking of all those little bugs that are probably in them that you can't see. Dale filled his bottle about halfway full, and he took a big gulp, several big gulps. He said, it doesn't have that much dirt in it. I took the bottle, and I looked closely. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? If we're not careful, we will fail to come to the water of living. We will fail to come to the fountain of living water and be refreshed and renewed and have our thirst for other pleasures fulfilled and purified by Christ. If we don't come back to the source of true joy and fulfillment, pure love and acceptance, we will be tempted to fill our thirst with anything even resembling water. And it won't seem so dirty because we won't look that closely because we'll be so parched. And all along, he's saying, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to be your shepherd, and you won't thirst for anything else. I've prepared rest for you in green pastures, quiet waters of safety, refreshing for your soul, clear direction for your life because you're mine. This is Laura, a paraphrase of Psalms 23, if you haven't gotten that. Even though you walk through the very valley of the shadow of what's trying to kill you, you don't have to be afraid because I'm right there beside you. My rod and my staff will wrap its arms all the way around you. I can prepare a table. I can provide for you in the very presence of the enemy of your soul. I can anoint your head with oil, and your cup can overflow. Not just barely be enough, but it can overflow. Come, don't settle for anything less than living truly alive in this life that I can provide for you. As we journeyed through the long 4-mile descent, our conversations dropped off to a few mumbled words here and there, and the Lord was really speaking to me, and Dale was trying to talk to me. He says, "What are you thinking about?" He's like, I said, "I'm just writing this sermon." A sermon that I never intended to preach, but, you know, he was speaking to me. Our rest breaks became more about relieving the pressure on our knees and our calves. At one point, a stick got tangled up in my legs, and it cut my leg, and I didn't even bother to stop and check it. I was literally just plodding along in sort of a physical daze. My back ached, and all I really wanted to do was just lie down flat somewhere and stretch out. You ever get there? Just give me a space. So I'm physically just plodding along in a daze, but spiritually, with every step, I'm almost in a rhythmic chant of sorts. I gotta keep moving. Press on towards the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lean into Jesus. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Lord, renew my mind and restore my peace. Help me not to stumble. Help me keep my mind stayed on you. Make my path straight, Lord. Guard my feet. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and renew a right spirit in me. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, just as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. And now there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. All God's promises are yes and amen. Now all glory to you, God, who is able through your mighty power to work within us to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ever even know how to ask or even imagine. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. I wish you could have seen the sweat at this point, just plodding along. Point my feet in the right direction. Lean on my walking stick. Take another drink of water. Keep moving. Repeat. Remember his truth and my purpose. Trust in his sovereignty. Abide in his love for me. Repeat. We finally made it to the beautiful chapel. We were covered in dust, sore all over, sweaty, stinky, and moving very slow, but we made it. And even though we paid for it as our bodies recovered over the next couple of days, we had made it to the top and back. Our longest hike to date, at least 8 miles. It was more than 8 miles. My stupid phone died and stopped recording how long I had walked. It's over like 25,000 steps. I was so proud. And yes, it was worth it. So to you, no matter what, in this hike of life, don't turn away and quit. Don't forget who you are and who God's called you to be. Don't throw away the stick and forsake your faith. Don't forget that it cost God his very life so that he could prove his everlasting love for you. Sometimes the hardest decision you will ever make is the one to stay, when everything in you wants to run, to hide, and as my kids used to say, disappear. Just disappear from God's current assignment, from the stress and demands of life, from responsibility and hardships, from disappointment and heartbreaks, from the waiting, from the mountain you're waiting for him to move. I could give you 1,000 examples, but I won't, because each of you have your own journey. Maybe the mountain he's going to move, you know, the mountain that we moved in our song, maybe the mountain he's going to move is the mountain inside of me. The one of fear, the one of doubt, the one of pride, the one of self. Sometimes the hardest decision you'll ever make is to go, when everything in you wants to remain in the comfort and the control of the familiar. But God may be calling you out to new heights, to new depths, new vision, new relationships, new assignments, new endurance, new faith, new joy, new life. Both require an active surrender and obedience, the truest and highest form of worship. As I continue to come to Jesus to bring myself to him daily, no matter what shape I'm in, I'm a 2 by now, probably in my brain as we were coming down that hill, or where I am on this journey, he continues to become my everything, my life, my joy, the very source of my strength. I begin to realize how very true that verse that Brother Allen always repeated, in him I live, I move, and I have my being. Without him, I am nothing. I might as well have stayed at home at the bottom of the hill and never expected much from this life I'm living between your birth date and your death date. But with him, I am more than a conqueror because he saved me. I will do all the crazy, wondrous, outrageous things he calls me to with joy and gratefulness. I will finish this course. I will keep the faith. And he will say, good job, girl, when I see him face to face after this great adventure on this hike of life. So, what's my invitation to you today? Why in the world do I have all these bottles of water around? Just because I want to invite you to come. Come just as you are, parched, filled, fulfilled, and take what he has to give you. We don't need to put limits on God and what he wants to pour into us. So these bottles of water are for you, and they're just a symbol that you're taking what Jesus wants to give you, and you're going to drink to the fill of whatever he wants to do. It's just a symbol. It's a commitment that he's more than enough, that he is the living water, and that our source comes from him. He gives us purpose. He gives us direction. He's the source of our faith, our trust. He's the source of our strength and our joy. When I was on the hike, I kept looking at the water bottle, and it was just the symbol of joy to me. The joy makes the difference in the journey. Our perspective means a lot. So Tommy, if you'll come, play whatever. I would like for you to come and just receive, take the water bottle. Jesus is here for us, but he doesn't force himself on you. He's ready and available to pour himself out upon you. So I invite you to just come get a bottle of water and go back to your seat. If you can't get up for whatever reason and you would like a bottle of water, I've asked the ushers to bring you one. So if you'll raise your hand, I want everybody in this house to have a bottle of water if you want it. If you have to leave, please get one on your way out.
It'd be cool to have everybody drink like a sip of water.